have good reason, amen, to be excited this evening, amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will, to open up your Bibles to the sixth chapter of the book of Isaiah. And everybody say amen when you get there. Don't be in a hurry, though. Take your time. Isaiah chapter 6. Is everybody there? Tell me if you need a minute. All right, I got you. Still hear a few pages turning. Isaiah chapter 6, and we're going to start reading this evening in verse 1. This is the word of the Lord. It says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another, said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and he said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send? And who will go for us? Then I said, here am I. Send me. Let's pray this evening. Father, we thank you for your grace, for your mercy, and for your love, God, that endures forever. God, we thank you this evening for who you are. Because only you could do the miracle that has taken place in all of our lives, God. Only you, God, could heal infirmities, diseases. Only you could set us free from addictions that had us bound with no hope of ever being free, God. Only you could restore what was broken in our lives. And only you, oh God, could give us hope for a better tomorrow. Only you could lift us up out of the depths of despair in which we were, God, and set our feet upon a rock and establish our goings. We are here tonight because of you, God. We are here because of you, and we are here to worship you. And we are here to receive from your word, which is life. Your word, which gives us direction. And your word that gives us hope. Have your way here this evening, God. I pray that your spirit would move in the hearts of every man, every woman, and every young person. God, give me grace to minister your word with the gift that you have given me, that you might be glorified, that we can all be edified, and when everything is said and done, that we would be more like you and less like ourselves. We love you this evening in Jesus' name. And everybody said, go ahead and be seated this evening. A few things transpired over the last 4 or 5 days. Few of them that really stood out. One of them happened on Monday night when the Kansas City Chiefs played against the Washington Redskins. Because all the events that happened that night led me to come to the conclusion of one very important thing. Their rookie running back, Kareem Hunt, is a ninja. I am convinced of that. The second thing, and more important than the former, is something happened personally in my life on Sunday night. As we were gathered here Sunday night and Brother Sean was going over the material in our Life Flow class on the history and the vision of Victory Outreach. Something that I had heard time and time again, but I think it was something to do with the timing in my walk with the Lord, that I was reminded of God's promises. Because after Sean went over the material and covering the history of our ministry, our values, and the things that have got us to where we're at today, Pastor Pat got up and he spoke a word on the promised scriptures for our ministry. And something was rebirthed in my heart. Something was stirred up within me. Because I was reminded of just how far God has brought the ministry of Victory Outreach. Not only internationally, but also locally here in the city of Albuquerque, God has brought us a very long way. God has done a miracle in our lives and in our ministry. And as the ministry has grown and as the ministry has expanded, God has done the same thing in our lives. I was reminded that there is nothing impossible for God. I was reminded that God goes out of His way to choose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. I was reminded that in the heart of God, there is a special place for drug addicts, alcoholics, gang members, prostitutes. And when Jesus hung on the cross 2,000 years ago, we were on His mind. He was thinking about us because the Bible says that God demonstrated His love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Not when we were at our best, but when we were at our worst. When I was a good-for-nothing, backslidden, dope fiend, sticking a dirty needle in my veins, having lost everything that was dear to my life, it was then that Jesus Christ reached down His hand of mercy and He said, Mark, I still love you. I still have a plan and a purpose for your life. Get out of the madness that you're in. Come to the home and let God do a work of restoration in your life. And God rekindled the call that He had placed upon my life. And I know without a shadow of a doubt that God didn't call me just to park cars on Sunday morning. God didn't call me just to be a supervisor at Comcast. God didn't call me just to come to church on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. But God has called me to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ to the four corners of the world and let the people that are without hope know that there is hope in Jesus Christ. You know, the text that we have before us this evening, the Bible talks about Isaiah when he gets the call of God upon his life, but we need to take time to look at the circumstances surrounding the calling of God as it comes upon Isaiah's life. Now this evening we're going to talk about three different things that take place in the portion of Scripture that I read. The first one is the revelation. The second part is the consecration. And the last part is the invitation. And we're going to focus more on the first part because without that, the second two don't ever happen. You see, the Bible says that in the year that King Uzziah died was when Isaiah received the revelation of who God was. Now let's camp out there for a little bit because a lot is going on during the life or during the time that Isaiah is getting this revelation. Uzziah had been a good king. He had expanded the southern borders of Judah, which he was king of, because at that point Israel was divided. There was a northern kingdom that was called Israel and the southern kingdom that was called Judah. And Uzziah was the king over Judah, and he had done a lot to bring prosperity and strength to the land of Judah. He was a good king, but he wasn't a perfect king. You see, because Isaiah thought that he could do the job of a priest, And he entered into the temple of God and he offered incense to the Lord. It wasn't his place to do it because he wasn't a priest. And as a result, the Bible says that God struck him with leprosy. And for the rest of his life, he was unclean. He was exiled and separated from the rest of the people. But he did a lot of good while he was king. And now Isaiah is faced with an uncertainty in his own life. Because the king that had been so good to the people, all of a sudden is dead. He doesn't know what tomorrow is going to bring. There's actually some Bible historians that believe that Isaiah was related to King Uzziah. That he was his nephew or that he was his cousin, but he was directly related to him. So he didn't know what was going to become of his life. It was a tragic moment in the life of Judah. It was tragic because a good king that had done so many good things was now dead. And people didn't know what to think about tomorrow or what tomorrow would bring. Kind of like the times that we live in today. We have seen tragedy after tragedy after tragedy. We have seen hurricane after hurricane after hurricane. We have seen mass shootings in Las Vegas, as Pastor Pat spoke about earlier in the service. We have heard about terrorist attacks in different parts throughout the world. We live in very uncertain times. We live in times where we don't know what's going to happen from one day to the next. Where we gotta be weary about everywhere that we go because we don't know if there's a terrorist. We don't know if there's a mass shooter. We don't know what's going to happen. And the world that we live in is living in uncertain times. But it is during those times that God starts to look at the man and the women of God throughout the world and says, I need to find a man or a woman that'll rise up and go into this uncertainty that is facing the world and bring the message of hope that is only found in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Oh, I'm preaching better than your amening. Somebody give the Lord a good praise offering this evening. It is during uncertain times that God looks for a man or he looks for a woman to restore order, to restore sanity, to restore hope, to restore peace in the lives of people that are affected by all the tragedies that are going on around us. God has done it before and God will continue to do it again because there was a time in the late 60s where there was a heroin epidemic that was going throughout the United States. There was people dying of overdoses all over the place and God was looking for a man and he found that man by the name of Sonny Argonzoni and he placed a call upon his life and he said something needs to be done. We got to restore hope. There are people that are dying that think that they're lost causes because they're heroin addicts. They think that once you're a junkie, you're always going to be a junkie. So he looked for a man and God chose Sonny Argonzoni to go into the streets of East Los Angeles and restore order by bringing the message of hope and letting people know that they didn't have to be drug addicts anymore. And the same thing happened in the city of Albuquerque. God raised up a ministry. He started off with Pastor Dan Sr. that used to go to every jail, every prison, every dope house in the city of Albuquerque. And with his Bible, preaching a message of hope and telling people that the same God that set him free from drug addiction was the same God that was able to change their lives. And as a result, there is an ex-dopheen that is standing here tonight preaching the gospel because somebody told me that Jesus Christ could change my life. But God is looking for men and women that will do the same throughout the world, through every inner city. He came looking for a man, and Isaiah saw God for who he was. You see, because I believe that in this place there are men and women that want to answer the call of God. You want to do a work for God, but before you can do a work for God, you got to know who God is. We have to get a revelation in our hearts and in our minds of who God really is. You see, the Bible says that Isaiah saw the Lord high and lifted up, sitting on a throne. The Bible says that the train of his robe filled the temple. Now let's stop there for a moment. Because back in those days, when a king went off to war and his army subdued the opposing army, they would bring the king to the public square. And it was there that the king would either kill him or have somebody else kill him, but he would take his robe and he would add it to his own robe. So when he walked around, everybody knew that he had conquered the other king. And when he got back to his palace, he would adorn his palace with all the robes of all the kings that he had subdued. So when people came in as visitors and they looked upon the room, they could see that the man that was sitting on the throne had conquered all these enemies in his life. The Bible says that our God is seated on the throne. The train of his robe fills the temple. There isn't room for anything else because all the enemies have already been defeated. God has defeated all manner of sickness, all manner of disease. The brother testified tonight that God healed him of an incurable disease because the God that sits on the throne has conquered all of our enemies. He's conquered the enemy of drug addiction. He's conquered the enemy of alcoholism. He's conquered the enemy of gang activity. He's conquered the enemy that has come and tried to destroy our life because we serve a God that is sitting on the throne that has not been defeated. He is 100-0. There's nobody that has taken him off of the throne. He is God. And that is a revelation that we need to get into our hearts and in our mind, that the God that we serve is an almighty God. He is an all-powerful God. There is nobody greater than him. He is the almighty and he can conquer any enemy in our life. Can you say amen? That is the God that we serve. He fills the temple. There is room for nothing else in that temple. There is no room for doubt. There is no room for unbelief. There is no room for questioning who he is. God is God. There is no other. Nobody can light a candle to our God. The Bible says that Isaiah seen him high and lifted up. And that there was angels. And the angels sang a little bit of a different song. Because Isaiah saw God for God who he is in heaven. But the angels said that the earth was filled with God's glory. You see, sometimes us like Isaiah think that God is only God in heaven. But the angel painted a different picture. They said, Isaiah, God isn't only God in heaven. God is filling the earth with his glory. He is the same there as he is here. He is not only God in heaven. God is God here on earth. He is the same God that is able to work in our life just like he's working in heaven. He's everywhere at the same time. That's my God. He knows everything. That's my God. There's nothing impossible for him. That's my God. There's nothing he can't do. That's my God. And the angels told Isaiah, you need to know that God is God on the earth. He's in control. Regardless of all the uncertainty that is taking place around us, regardless of the madness that might even be happening in your own life, you need to know that God is God. Because when there was a time in our life when we didn't think we were ever going to make it, there was a time in our life when we thought that there was no hope for us. There was a time in my life when I thought I was going to spend the rest of my life in prison. There was a time in my life when I thought I would never get free from heroin addiction. But thank God Almighty that God is not only God in heaven, but God is God here on earth. And he's able to do the impossible. That's the revelation. Before we can answer the call of God, we need to know who God is. We don't serve no Mickey Mouse God. He's not a picture on a magnet on your refrigerator. He is a God that can do the impossible in your life if you get it into your heart and into your mind. You see, Isaiah saw the vision of God. And the first thought that comes to his mind is, I'm a man of unclean lips. I live in a generation of people with unclean lips. I messed up. Because when you spend time in the presence of God, brothers and sisters, you realize just how messed up you really are. The Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was God. The Word was with God. God is the Word. In verse 14 of that same chapter, it says that the Word became flesh and it dwelt among men in the form of Jesus. Jesus is the Word. The Word is God. They are one and the same. There's a scripture in the book of James that says for us to be doers of the Word and not only hearers. Because if we're hearers of the Word, we're like somebody that goes and looks in the mirror and immediately forgets what he looks like. I think that's very interesting. You see, because I don't know about the rest of you, but when I wake up in the morning and I start to get ready for whatever it is that I'm going to do and I look at myself in the mirror, I don't look for what's right with me. I look to see what's wrong, what needs to be fixed. Do I have morning glories? Some of you call them lagañas. Some people are a little bit nicer and call it fairy dust. It's that crud that accumulates in the corner of your eye. And you want to make sure that you take that out before you walk out and somebody sees you. You want to make sure that your hair's okay. You want to make sure that the mustache is lined up. You want to make sure that you ain't got nothing hanging out of your nose. We don't look into a mirror to see what's right. We look into a mirror to see what needs to be fixed in our lives. Because it is a reflection of what we should be. And it also tells us what we really are. You see, what happens with us is that we don't look into the mirror of God's Word. We treat God's Word as a window. And we pass it over to somebody else. There's even some people here in church tonight, they're saying, man, this brother should be hearing this. I wish that sister would have been here tonight. She needed to hear this. I can think of five people that I'm going to forward this message to because they need to hear it. No, brother, no, sister, you need to hear it. That mirror's straight up in your mug. Because the Word of God is the standard. That is the reflection and the picture of what our lives should be. That is the model that we need to follow. So when we look into God's Word, we start to see the defects in our lives. We start to see the areas where we fall short. We start to realize that without God, we are nothing. We start to realize that we need God every moment of every day because as long as we're walking in this carnal body that we live in, we're going to fall short. We're going to do things that we're not supposed to do and we're going to think things that we shouldn't be thinking. You see, we got a lot of psychological sinners in our church. You might not do it, but you thought it. Well, I don't do drugs no more, and I don't do crime no more, and I don't go to jail or prison no more. But you think about a lot of stuff you have no business thinking about. Think about a bunch of stuff that you have no business thinking about. A lot of psychological sinners. We don't sin outwardly, but inwardly we're a mess. And it's when we look into God's Word that we start to realize all these things, and that's what's happening in the life of Isaiah. He was in the presence of Almighty God, and all of a sudden he couldn't see himself for all the successes. He couldn't see all the things that he had accomplished. The only thing that he could see is his deficiencies and his dependency on God. And when we stand in the presence of God, we don't see our successes. We can't pat ourselves on the back or hit ourselves in the chest and say, God, look at how good I am. Look at what I've done. Look at what I've accomplished, because we know in our hearts that if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't be anywhere. The Bible says that the angels took a coal from the altar with tongs. Now, angels are supernatural beings. And even these supernatural beings didn't want to get anywhere near those coals because they were hot. So they had to get some tongs, and they came and they touched the lips of Isaiah. Imagine the pain he must have felt. Imagine the horror on his face when he sees this burning ember from the throne room of God coming straight to him. But he stood his ground. He stood still because he had made a decision that whatever needed to happen in his life, he was going to go through it because he wanted to accomplish the plan and the purpose that God had for his life. Some of us need to stand still and let God do what he's going to do in your life. Some of you have been running away from God. God's been wanting to get your attention. God's been wanting to bless you. God's been wanting to place a call upon your life. But instead of standing still, you're running all over the place. And you're not allowing God to come and consecrate your life and separate you to let you be used in the ministry of Jesus Christ. For some of us, it's time to stop running, stand still, and let God do the work that he's going to do in your life, however painful it might be. So what if you gotta swallow your pride? So what if you gotta humble yourself? So what if I had to go back into the men's home? I thank God today that I went back to the home and I stood still and I allowed God to do the work in my life, because if I hadn't, I wouldn't be standing here tonight. Some of us need to stand still and let God do that work in our lives. Let it hurt. It's for our own good. Let it hurt. God's going to mold and shape us into the man or the woman of God that he's called us to do. Sit still and let God do that work in your life. After he's consecrated, the Bible says that the angel of the Lord or God said, who are we going to send? Who's going to go restore peace? You can come to the piano, please. Who's going to restore order? Who's going to restore hope to this world because it's a mess? The Bible says Isaiah, burned lips and all, said, here I am. Here I am. He said, here I am. Who's God going to send? You know that Oklahoma City, not far from here, has one of the worst gang problems in the United States per capita. Do you know that Camden, New Jersey has one of the highest heroin addiction rates in the country? Not New York, not Chicago, not Los Angeles. Oklahoma City, Camden, New Jersey. Plagued with drug addiction and gang violence. And during these perilous times, God is looking for a man or a woman that'll go and bring a message of hope. But before we can answer the call, we need that revelation of who God is. Because it could be that you're here tonight and you don't believe that God can do all those things in your life. You need to believe that God can not only do that, but he can do so much more. You ask any one of the ministers on our staff if they've been ever disappointed by what God has done in their life, and unanimously everybody will say no. Because God has done more than we could ever expect. Beyond our wildest dreams, taking us to places, opened up doors of opportunity and done things that we could never accomplish on our own. Because God is a good God. He is a faithful God. And he's able to do exceedingly and above anything that we could ever dream of. We need a revelation of who God is in our lives. And we also need to sit still and allow God to consecrate our lives, to remove those unpleasant things from our lives, to remove those deficiencies. those things that hold us back, those things that we struggle, tonight can be a defining moment in your life. Tonight can be the night where everything is turned around. Where you say, yes, God, I want a revelation of who you are. I want to believe in the impossible. I want to believe in the supernatural. I want a revelation of you on the throne, God, and nothing being impossible for you in my life. And I'm willing to pay the price. I'm willing to put in the work, God. I'm willing to sit still as long as it takes, God, for you to do that work in my life so that I can come to the point where I say, okay, I'm ready now, God. Here I am. Send me. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads all over this place this evening. No moving around, please. Every head bowed and every eye closed. If you're here tonight, you're here for a reason. If you're here tonight, it's because God brought you to this place. You need to believe that tonight. Because God wanted to speak a word into your heart to let you know that you're special, that you're called, that God has a plan, He has a purpose for your life. He wants to do something in your life that'll blow your mind, that'll be more than you could ever expect or anticipate. He wants to reveal Himself to you this evening. So that there will be no doubt in your mind that God is able. If you're here this evening, and God is tugging at your heart right now, and you're saying to yourself, I need to know God that way. I need to have a revelation of who God is. And I need to know Him as the God that sits on the throne, that fills the temple, whose earth is filled with His glory. God wants to reveal Himself to you tonight. If this is your first time in our church, or you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, tonight He wants to reveal Himself to you, just like He's done to so many in this place already. He wants to show you who He is and what He wants to do in your life. This evening, I believe that there's individuals in this place tonight that God has wanted to consecrate you for a while now, and you've been running from God. You won't sit still and allow God to complete the work that He started in your life. There are things that you haven't been willing to give up. Tonight's your night. The Spirit of God is here. He wants to consecrate you. He wants to separate you from everything that has held you back so that you can answer the call that God has for your life. If God has ministered to you this evening in any of the areas that I've mentioned, I'm going to invite you to come to this altar. I'm going to invite you to come and lift your hands before the Lord and say, God, I need you to reveal yourself to me tonight, God. Come from all over this place. Don't let anything hold you back. Hallelujah. Come on, all over this place. Just come. Lord, I want to know.